Today's scripture reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
エピソビテへの手紙1章17節23節を日本語でお読みします。どうか私たちの主イエスキリストの神、すなわち栄光の父が、神を知るための知恵と啓示の御霊をあなた方に与えてくださいますように。またあなた方の心の目がはっきり見えるようになって、神の召しによって与えられる望みがどのようなものか、聖徒の受け継ぐものがどのように栄光に富んだものか、また神の全能の力の働きによって私たち信じる者に働く神の優れた力がどのような偉大なものであるかをあなた方が知ることができますように。神はその全能の力をキリストのうちに働かせて、キリストを死者の中からよみがえらせ、天上においてご自分の右の座につかせて、すべての支配、権威、権力、主権の上に、また世の今の世ばかりではなく次に来る世においてもとなえられるすべての名の上に高く置かれました。また神は一切のものをキリストの足の下に従わせ、一切のものの上に立つ頭であるキリストを教会にお与えになりました。教会はキリストの体であり、一切のものを一切のものによって満たす方の満ちておられるところです。
Good morning. How are you doing? Let's pray.And just go ahead and say this prayer. Just say quietly in your soul or out loud. Just say, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Holy Spirit, come. We just ask for your presence, Lord. Father, we pray that your presence would come in this place right now. Father, your word says, in your presence is joy. Amen.So we pray for your presence, Lord. Fill us with your joy. Lord, this is your service. This is all for you, Jesus. And we just pray that you would be blessed, glorified, and that you would be pleased with what we have to offer you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, you'll speak to us. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. How are you guys doing?That good, huh? All right. Good thing you're at church. Wow, amen. Well, today, we're starting just a two-part series, Hope and Power. The hope of the resurrection and the power of the resurrection. As many of you know, today is Palm Sunday. Praise God. And it's, considered Holy Week, right?It is Holy Week, so let's try to be holy. Set apart for the Lord. And next week is Easter Sunday. Let me tell you, if you have friends and family that aren't saved, just to give you a heads up, Easter is one of those days that they would consider coming to church. So bring them out, invite them. I'll try to have a message prepared for...people who usually don't come to church. So bring out your friends on Easter Sunday. Hito and I, we went to the U of A and just went to pray for some people. And There was a young man we met who has a Baptist background. He doesn't go to church, but he used to go to church. And I said, well, it's Easter Sunday. And he said, oh, yeah, that's one of the days I usually go to church. And so there are people like that, just to let you know. If you have any friends that don't go to church, say, hey, where are you going to church Easter? And they'll be open to go, just to let you know. Amen? All right, today is, I want to talk about the hope of resurrection, the hope of resurrection. And as we saw in the passage we read in Ephesians 1:17, Paul says this, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And Paul here reveals the purpose of his ministry to the Ephesian church, which was what? That they may know God better. That's what he worked for. Now, what did he ask for? He said, I pray that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. What does that mean? Basically, it means it takes God to know God. Paul is praying that they would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Holy Spirit. That's why today I said, let's start with Holy Spirit, come, fill us. It takes the Holy Spirit to know God. What does that mean? That means everything you do apart from the Holy Spirit is in vain. Everything you do apart from the Holy Spirit is in vain. In fact, it would probably fuel your pride. There were a lot of enemies of Jesus during his earthly ministry. And ironically, those enemies were those that had the most knowledge of the Bible. They were filled with Scripture. Scripture without the Holy Spirit will lead to pride. But Scripture with the Holy Spirit will lead to power. Amen. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we do, we have sermons. That's why we have teachings. And so I encourage you to study the Bible. I encourage you to pray. I encourage you to go to church. But without the Holy Spirit, all of that will be your undoing. But with the Holy Spirit, it will lead to a greater revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. John 17:3 says this, now this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. What is eternal life? It is not living forever. Jesus, in John 17:3 clearly states what eternal life is. It is knowing God and knowing Jesus. That's eternal life. It's not living for eternity, but it's knowing the eternal one. And so guess what? Eternal life starts now. It starts here. Knowing God is eternal life. And Jesus is our model. We were made in the image of God. In Genesis, I believe it's chapter 2:1, 2, and 3 talks about being made in the image of God. There's a man named Dutch Sheets. I don't know if he's a theologian or just a pastor, but he said that word, the image, made in the image of God, means that we looked in the original form like God. And he gave an example. So if an angel were to pass by Adam, he would have had to do a double take and say, well, I thought that was you, God. The image of God. Can you imagine that? That Adam was made in the image of God. Now, we are fallen, right? That image has been fallen because of sin. It's been marred. But in its original sense, it was made in the image of God. So, I don't know, should I be foolish today? You guys will look too serious, never mind. I'm not going to be foolish today. All right, man. I'm in the wrong place. Anyways, okay, forget it. Eternal life starts now. Let me just get through the sermon. Let's go home. Okay. Oh, man.
Say whatever the Lord puts on your heart.
Let's pray. Let's start all over. Maybe we should just start all over. What's going on today? You guys okay? You guys have a good week? Okay, sure. You betcha. Anyways. All right, well, my wife said let's pray. Let's pray one more time. We're going to start all over. We're going to get this right. Father, we just come before you and we worship you, Lord. Yeah, we just worship you in this place. We thank you, Father, that you have made us in your image. We thank you for Jesus Christ who is restoring that image. We thank you for Jesus Christ who was the model image. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. He was the exact representation of the Father, what we were meant to be. But we failed. Jesus, we thank you for your mercy, for your forgiveness, for your redemption, for your triumphal entry into Jerusalem to take on the cross, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, anyways, along with knowing God, and that's a whole sermon in itself, knowing God. In Paul, there were three specific areas where we must grow in. And he talks about the hope to which we were called for, the riches of his inheritance, and his incomparably great power. This week I want to talk about the hope. Next week, the power and the inheritance is so intimately tied with hope and power that it won't have its own sermon. Well, not yet anyways. But this week I want to talk about hope. Because I feel like some of us, we're struggling in this area. In fact, I feel like some of us who need to hear this message may have already lost hope. I don't want you to lose hope. I believe the hope he's called us in are both for the future and the present. For both the future and the present. Ephesians 2:12, it says this, remember that at the time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Our hope is in the covenant of his promise. What does that mean? What is the covenant of his promise? Turn with me real quick, if you have your Bibles, to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verses 18 through 25. Romans 8, 18 through 25. We're talking about what is the covenant of his promise. Paul talks about this in greater depth in Romans chapter 8, 18 through 25. Let me read it. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to this present time. Now, how many of you have given birth and know how painful that is? I don't. Even though I look like I'm with child, I will not be giving birth anytime soon. But those of you who have given birth know how painful that is. And he's saying right here how painful it is. It's painful is as, I don't know how upon you, maybe just revelation. Pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly. How many of you have a holy groaning? Guess what? It's not going to go away. If you have a holy groaning, a holy longing in your life, it's not going away anytime soon. Just to let you know. And it's okay to have a holy longing. It's okay to want more of the Spirit. In fact, that's healthy. If you're like, oh man, church again, Bible again, prayer again, worship again, come on man, I just did that last week. That's not a healthy place to be. But if you can't have enough of the Lord, you're in a good place. If you have a holy groaning, a holy hunger, that's a good place to be. It's healthy. It says, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly. And this is the covenant of the promise. I want you to catch this. For adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For we, in His hope, we were saved. We eagerly await for our adoption. I don't like my translation. Who has a bet? Whose translation says adoption to sonship? There is no translation that says that? Come on, somebody. No? Okay.
What says adoption as sons?
Adoptions to son?
As sons.
As sons.
What verse?
Come on, guys. We're at 23. Adoption. Eagerly for our adoption. Anyways, there's some translation, adoption as son, adoption to sonship. That is an important word right there. It's a legal term. Our adoption, and many translations says adoption to son or to sonship, is a legal term. In Roman culture, if you were a son, an heir, that was a legal term. Meaning that you had legal rights to your father's property. Amen. That you had legal rights to your father's property. That is what Paul is saying is the covenant of the promise. The redemption of our bodies to sonship. Adoption to sonship. That's the covenant. Let me continue to read. Adoption, redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved. In this hope we were saved. Amen. So what is the hope we have for the future? Is that we would have resurrected body, new bodies. And that until we have the new bodies in heaven, there will be an inward groaning in our spirits. There will be a longing. Now that's important to know, that each of us has a longing, a groaning that will not be satisfied until heaven. Why is that important to know? Because if you don't know that, you're going to think, okay, I need something in this world. And you'll try to fill it with worldly things to fulfill that longing. But the Bible says that longing will never go away until we have our redeemed bodies. Does that make sense to anybody except my wife? Okay, it makes sense to Toshio. Good, alright. I'm connecting with Toshio in the back. Thank you, Toshio, for being here. I really appreciate your ministry. You are encouraging my spirit right now. My words are not in vain. Amen. But it says, Paul says this, we have a groaning and a longing until the adoption, until we are made brand new with our new bodies. And again, that's important to know because as long as we are in this world, we're going to have a longing. And that longing, a lot of time, Christian or non-Christian, longing a lot of times go fulfilled in other ways, rather than knowing it is are a reminder that we are not home yet. We're just passing through. We are not home yet. And as long as we do not understand that and try to make a home here, you will put your hopes in something else. Instead of the covenant of the promise, you'll put your hopes in something else. And let me tell you, hope in something else will always disappoint. In 1 Corinthians 15:19, though, Paul says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Our hope is not in this life. It's in another life. Some of us are closer to that than most, than me. Let me tell you a story. before this, before coming to Tucson, I used to pastor a church in Los Angeles. They were called West Adams. They're no more. But they were a little smaller than this group. They were all in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and some in their 90s. To give you an idea, one went to UCLA when Jackie Robinson was at UCLA. That's how there's a movie coming out about Jackie Robinson, and it looks like ancient history, but there was a lady in the congregation who went to school with Jackie Robinson. Anyways, I told them, there's probably a better chance that you will go to heaven before me. They'll be home before I go home. And as I look out, probably other than a couple of you, good chance that you'll go home before me. If you go home before me, please ask Jesus, please give Jesus this message. Tell Jesus, Aki and Mandy want to go visit home before we go home. Okay? Does that make sense? Just say that, all right? Just say, Jesus, hey, Aki and Mandy, you probably won't remember. Anyways. But my point is, our longing is in our home. We are homesick. But some of us, we're trying to make home here. This is the wrong place to make home in. But our hope is not just in the future, but it's also in the present. And to the degree we put our hope in His promise is a degree we can walk properly in our calling here. Does that make sense? Because if we put our hopes in anything else, the way we live our life will show it. In Hebrews 6:19 it says this, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. How many of you guys own a boat? Nobody. I'm in Tucson, I guess not. I guess you don't need a boat in Tucson. All right, I'm in the wrong place to ask that question. That was my bad. That was my fault. I take responsibility for that one. But it says, but you guys have been on a boat or know, you know, the concepts of a boat. If you have a boat, you need an anchor, right? If you don't have an anchor, your boat's going to float away. Paul said, or the author of Hebrews says this, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul. The hope that we will have a renewed body. The hope of a home in heaven. As an anchor to our soul. What does that mean? That means in this life, our souls will drift away. But without a firm anchor, our souls will drift away. If our hope isn't in heaven, in the promise of the covenant, our souls will drift away. And all of a sudden, we're out in deep sea. In fact, if you kind of switch the words around, if our hope is in something else, we are anchored to that which we put what we put our hope in. Listen, if I put my hope in money, I'm anchored to money. No matter how much I want to go to the Lord, if my hope is in money, I can never go to money. Because I'm anchored. If my hope is in something else other than Christ, I'm anchored to that thing. It's called idolatry. And you will never get as far as where you put your hope in this life. Now, it's how do we know what we put our hopes in? Let's look at Ephesians 4, chapters verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says this. Paul, he uses, Paul, he could have been both using an analogy as well as his literal circumstance, but he says this, as a prisoner for the Lord. He could have been, again, he could have been, that's his literal, he's literally in prison, but he could have been saying, I'm anchored to the Lord. I can't get away from him because I'm anchored to that promise. I'm his prisoner. Let me tell you, if you have anything, if your hope is in anything else, you're a prisoner to that. My wife is nodding her head, so let me just park it there real quick. There was a man, there was a rich young ruler who came up to Jesus and said, how do I inherit eternal life? And he simply says to the rich young ruler, who lived an excellent life, he said, go sell your properties and come follow me. He could not do that. He was in the presence of God. And the word of God spoke to his spirit. But his anchor, his hope was in money. And he was anchored to that. And he could not leave that life. He could not leave that life. Let me show you how you can tell what your life is in, what your hope is in. It says this, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Amen. Be completely humble and gentle. Patient, bearing one another in love. Completely humble, gentle, patient, and loving. Those are heavenly realities. Those are what I call heavenly realities. Meaning in heaven, when we go home, we will all be completely gentle, humble, loving, and patient. Amen? In this lifetime, we're not always so humble, gentle, loving, and patient, right? Wherever you see pride in your life, wherever you see where you're not gentle but aggressive, wherever you see yourself being not patient, wherever you see yourself not loving, whatever evokes those things out of you, that's where you put your hopes in. Now, if you get angry for the Lord, praise God. Jesus did that. If you are zealous for the Lord and that's all you get angry about. But if you get uncontrollably angry, depressed, impatient, rude, in other areas of your life, when something touches that, then you know maybe there's a hope in that. Maybe I'm putting my hope in that thing. Am I communicating? Am I speaking in tongues right now and I just don't know what? What's going on? Okay. And it's important. That's important to know because you guys believe in a Satan? Whether you guys don't or not, I'm going to say Satan does exist. And Satan will touch your finances. He will touch your relationships. He'll touch your property. He'll touch everything he can. And in some theological sense, God will allow Satan to touch those things. because it's going to evoke something out of you. If he touches your finances and all of a sudden you become rude, unloving, impatient, angry, aggressive, depressed, guess what? God is speaking. Where's your hope really in? He touches your relationship and all of a sudden you get angry, depressed, aggressive, rude. He touches your education. He touches your ministry. He touches whatever he starts touching. Let me tell you, Satan doesn't care about your money. You know what he cares about? He cares to destroy your faith, hope, and love. And he says, if I could touch this, and if it destroys that, I've done my duty. Jesus says, if he touched that, and if he reveals this, and they'll put their hopes in me, it'll bring me glory. And to the degree we put our hopes in his promise is a degree we can walk properly in love, in patience, in complete humbleness and gentleness. Worthy of the promise that we are called to. Now I want you to consider who have made this promise. God made this promise. God made this promise. Because a lot of times, the older we get, the more jaded we get to that word promise. Right? Yeah? Because, our parents disappoint us with promises. I have disappointed people with promises. Guess what? You've disappointed people with promises. We've all been disappointed with promises. But God made the promise. God makes this promise. And God cannot lie. And he promises us a covenant of sonship, adoption, heirs, home in heaven. And our spirit will long for that day. And as long as you realize that groaning and longing is okay and is healthy, the more we would put our hopes in the right things and live the right way. Now I'm not just talking morally live the right way. I'm just talking spiritually live the right way. Amen. Now as a I said the hope is in the future as well as in today. And our hope is in the Lord. Amen. And I just want to share something. I'm done with my message. I just want to share something from Scripture, though. If you have your Bibles, turn with me real quick to James. Turn with me to James chapter 5, verses 13. I'm going to read from there. James 5:13 says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray." Amen. Is anyone among you in trouble, let them pray. If they're happy, sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Now that word sickness can be translated suffering. Is anyone among you sick or suffering? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make them well. The Lord will raise them up. Amen. I read this because I want to pray for some of you guys here today. Specifically, if anyone's in trouble, come up in prayer. But specifically, if I feel like the Lord has been speaking to me that he wants to heal these things. But if you have a sharp pain in this area of your stomach, it might be an ulcer. I'm not 100% sure. I feel like the Lord wants to heal you. I feel like the Lord wants to heal someone with a left shoulder injury, left knee, specifically left knee, middle back, and this might be the same person with the sharp pain here, but there's also pain in here. It might be ovaries, I don't know. But it was here and here. It might be two separate people, but it might be the same person and two separate people. But I feel like the Lord wants to heal you in those areas. So if after we finish singing after service, please come up. I'd love to pray for you. I feel like the Lord wants to heal you. So sharp pain here. This one, I am pretty certain it is somebody. Do you guys want to know why or how? You can ask me later then. Anyways. James specifically says, if anyone is sick or suffering, pray. Ask the elders to pray. We don't have an elder system right now, so I guess I'm the only one. But I'm going to have some of the leaders wants to pray with me, you are more than welcome to. In fact, I encourage you to. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the hope we have in you. The hope of our home in heaven with resurrected bodies, our new bodies, our spirit longs and groans for that, Lord. We have a holy longing for you, God. And my prayer is that we would fill that holy longing with more of you, Jesus. With an intimate knowledge of you. With fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, you would help us to understand and discern how to fulfill the longing we have by putting our hope in you, Father. And living a life worthy of the calling that you have given us. We pray that we would all be completely humble, gentle, patient, and loving, Lord, with one another. Keeping the unity of your Spirit. Making every effort, Lord, to keep the unity. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.